Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
What's up, world? It's your boy, Big Corp from the Holding Court Podcast. See, ACP is where the streets and black excellence meet. And it's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
What's it like working with Travis?
I mean, I learned a lot from Travis, you know. It evolved over the years.
I was about to say, so you end up learning from him.
In different ways. He learned a lot from me. Learned, he's an incredible businessman. He's a very smart individual. And I learned a lot from him. He learned a lot from me about the industry. And we were a good partnership for a lot of years.
Okay.
And it worked well for many years.
And you know, I know Travis loosely. I mean, we've talked, we've been around each other. I could say we're cool, we're cordial. You hear different things about Travis. Some people would say that he runs strange like Suge. He's like a white Suge Knight. would you say that? Would that be your?
To a degree, you know, he's a fan of fear as part of his management style. You know, he didn't keep it quiet and mellow when he was upset about something. He was very vocal. So,
but that would go as far. That would scare someone though, because I mean, one thing about Suge, and I'm not trying to shit on Trav, but you know, Suge had the goons. You know, and Suge was, you know, himself. He would carry it out, you know, he would do his thing. But I'm saying, I guess I don't know Trav like that. So where would the fear come from? I mean,
he would hire the people that would respect him through fear.
Okay. I see.
You know, there was only a few people that wouldn't react to that. They were usually the real industry folks, ones who've already been through the the ringer,
right?
You know,
right,
like, yeah, right. That, all right, come on, man.
Yeah,
you know, but the Kansas City folk, and I know Kansas City's no joke,
exactly.
Obviously.
You
but
know.
At that level, on the industry side,
yeah, I got
he
you.
He was the heavy.
I got you.
He was the heavy. Yeah. So yeah, he ruled with, you know, it was his house.
Yeah.
It was very, you know, have you been to the? Have you been in the building?
Yes, I have.
All right, so you've seen what that means to
man,
him.
Man, it's dope.
I mean, we could lick any corner in that office.
I say this all the time. I'm super proud of Tech and what Travis has done with Strange, especially there for my hometown, for my city.
Yeah.
They're the first to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and when I went to Strange, I was like, God damn, they got a real compound. They're really doing business here.
What year did you go? Do you remember?
Yeah, just about 7 months ago.
Okay, so you saw five buildings?
No, I didn't know there were five buildings.
You only went to the headquarters?
I went to the headquarters where the car wash is.
Yeah.
I saw the soundstage, but I haven't been.
You didn't go to the studios or soundstage?
No, I was impressed just seeing the where the cars were and the merch shit and all of that. I didn't go to all of that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was there.
The other building across the way was the studio and the soundstage.
Yeah, Man, listen, kudos to them dudes.
No,
I mean, Travis has done, he's done really, really well.
He's an impressive businessman. Yeah. He killed the game in real estate and then made himself the tenant, essentially.
Yeah.
Buy up everything on the block and set up shop, cut the middleman out.
Yeah.
I remember when you guys opened the Hollywood Highland location.
Yes.
I went to whatever that record release was that time.
Which one?
I'm really good friends with Chris. Chris is like a great friend of mine.
Right on. Chris.
But it was him and Chris and Tech performed that night.
Okay.
So I forget what performance that was.
Then we probably said what's up that night.
Probably, yeah.
What was it like working with Tech?
On what level?
In terms of him as an artist.
Like, I mean,
being a fan, but all now.
Artists.
Yeah.
Like, dude's really...
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he drove until he was 40-something.
This is true.
And might not still have a license. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All artists. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, I've worked with a lot of talent in my mm-hmm. career, and I think he's, like, the biggest artist.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of how his brain works and what side of the brain is,
that's right.
is engaged. And, I mean, he's an amazing individual.
Were you responsible for Lynch coming over to Strange?
Yeah.
Yeah, so how did you, what made
that
you?
That trilogy.
Yeah, what made you put that together?
I mean, I was
By the way, hold on, can we pause? That Lynch trilogy was hard as fuck.
It was.
Like, honestly, because there was them down albums. Like,
yeah. No, I know.
I'm a Sacramento guy, maybe I'm biased, but that Lynch trilogy on Strange.
Well, it was a combination of Strange and Seven, the producer, mm-hmm. and Lynch just being in the right place. I mean, there's so many stories about Lynch mm-hmm. coming out there.
Mm-hmm. Give us a good story about Lynch being in Kansas City on Strange.
All right, So he had to come out to Kansas City to record.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working with him, and I already knew that he's limited in a lot of different ways. So I was worried. I was worried. Like, all right, so check it out. You're supposed to leave next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to get there? Oh, my homeboy got a car, this, that. Well, how do you know your homeboy is available? Like, mm-hmm. I want something concrete. I want to talk to the dude who's driving you, right? Little by little. Oh, man, his credit card. His tires are bad. Credit card ain't working. Oh, he's 24. We can't rent a car. And little by little, as expected, this dude can't get his way to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his life depends on him getting out
there. And Lynch
there.
Doesn't fly.
No, and he won't fly.
Right. No, I know. All. I'm saying for the listener.
Yeah, Lynch doesn't fly. Right. I guess, good point.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
So I anticipated all this. I warned Trav, and, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm like the buffer between mm-hmm. Trav and Lynch's. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the word is to describe Lynch, man. Dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Idiosyncrasies.
Just say, I was going to say idiosyncrasies and eccentricities.
Yeah.
He's eccentric. Yeah.
So there was five of them at the time. Okay. And between the five of them, they couldn't muster up a car, muster up the gas money. Just wasn't happening. So I was going to Travis, like, all right, so check it out. We got to send a sprinter out,
right?
Scoop him up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be kidding me. Travis, like, what the fuck you mean these guys can't get a car? Mm-hmm. I'm like, he hadn't met him yet, I don't think. I'm like, just don't argue. Don't try to fix what can't be fixed. Just understand, if you want this dude here, and we blocked out the studio for the month, we have to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Only way it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we send out one of our drivers in a sprinter, and he drives 3 days or whatever to Sacramento, gets there. So I get a call. I get a call from the driver. He's like, I'm like, all right, we good? And he's like, well, we're good, but... he's got these puppies. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean puppies? And he's like, he got a couple puppies and he won't leave them. I'm like, he can't bring a couple puppies to Kansas City for a month, live in a hotel room and be in the studio all day.
Yeah.
And I knew Travis wasn't trying to have, he was so proud of the sprinter. He was like, it was fucking a day old or something when it went out there, you know, like
could
scratch it or, you know, as you see, he takes very good care of his stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, put him on the phone. I'm like, Lynch, man, you gotta find a spot for the puppies, man. Mm-hmm. Like, put him in a you know,
a kennel. Or
do what you gotta do, man. Just like, don't bring them. He's like, Dave, man, but they're puppies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and he's getting all sentimental. And I'm like, Lynch, they'll be all right. And he's like, Dave, they need me. I need them. These are my puppies. And I'm like having this, like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you right now, dude. Like, your career is on the line. You need this.
I'm
like,
tripping off the fact, though, but this is season of the sick. I'm tripping off the fact that this is,
you know, never the puppies.
So I have to go into Trav's office. And actually, I called him because I remember, like, holding the phone over here when I was explaining. All right, so check it out. He's there. He's ready to get in the vehicle. We're going to get him out here. But there's a catch, and they're two puppies.
What?
Trav lost his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming, I have no fucking puppies in my fucking van. And what about the hotel room? And all that. And this went back and forth for like a day. Like,
damn.
It held the trip up. Wow. Trav's like, no. Lynch's like, I ain't leaving without the puppies.
Damn.
I'm stuck in the middle. Like, this is the dumbest shit ever. This is horrible. I can't even believe that I'm involved in something ridiculous. So eventually, Trav's like, all right, so check it out. Whatever you do that fucks the van up, the hotel room up, I'm stripping your royalties. You're paying me back everything. I don't want to see him. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear him. But one last question. What breed? Mm-hmm. And he was like, pit bulls. And I guess in Kansas City, they're not legal.
Right.
On top of everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now he's checking two dogs into the hotel that aren't legal in the city or state. Yeah. Or... So now, but he's going to be in the studio 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So he can't leave the dogs tearing the room apart. So we had to find a dog handler.
Yeah.
So the homie G Smooth, Gary Adam, you know him?
Uh-uh.
He's a Kansas City rapper.
Okay.
He's like, Lynch is my dude. I'll do it. He sat in that room for 30 days with those puppies. I mean, except for when they came back and went to sleep. But that dude sat with those puppies for 30. We're friends to this day.
Wow.
Over the puppies.
Did Travis pay him to
do
that?
Did he get in the credits? Because those three albums were fire.
He did.
Him in the puppy handler.
Right?
In the credits.
And the room didn't get fucked up.
Wow.
We didn't have to pay it. I remember calling the hotel manager like, hey, how's everything that, you know? 30-day stay left, and they were like,
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Actually, it's fine. Everything's good in here. And I was like, shocked. Yeah. And so that's one of the funny stories about getting lynched. And that was for the first the first album, obviously.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple of friends. I have friends that were all over that album as well. From back in my era of music.
I'm trying to think of which album was the one. It was the one I tried to commit suicide. What album was that on?
All of them.
Oh. All of them. Yes.
No, they were the way that ended. It ended on a bad note, and not to do with Lynch. Not to do with it was. I can't remember if the trilogy, the third part of the trilogy, either just dropped or was dropping, and Newtown, Connecticut, the shooting at those kindergartners happened, and it just shut. Like everyone just took a step back from that because even though it's art, it's still, that was so shocking and upsetting to the world.
Yeah.
I mean, no one even had to talk to us about it. It was just like, it felt like we were playing with some dark shit that when you see the outcome of something that horrible, none of us felt good about it. Yeah. We all just kind of walked away.
Yeah.
Just out of, you know, being human.
Yeah. Just being human. Yeah.
That was the third album.
That was the very tail end of it where we should have been excited that we dropped it. And it was like, it was just painful to see what was going on in the world, and people can't differentiate between art and life.
Well, and
not
to
that
Lynch,
we were involved. But
to Lynch's credit, it is just art. Like, you know,
he's already been through that before.
Yeah.
Like
he had a
roommate. There was a college roommate that killed his roommate.
I remember that.
And then he went on.
He went on.
Kathy.
No,
show
it
was
Geraldo, I believe. Was
no,
it,
it was a female. It was a
blonde
female.
Yeah.
Jenny something.
Yes.
He went on a talk show.
He did.
Lynch did.
Yep.
And Art Battle.
Art Battle. Shout out to Art.
Yeah. Love Art. And and they met the parents of the kid who got killed by his roommate while listening to Brother Lynch's album.
I remember
that was on the Black Market compilation, wasn't it? The clip at the beginning of that.
They aired the audio of that?
Yeah.
Did they? Mm-hmm. Wow. So they handled it well. Yeah. Like he really apologized and I don't know if he teared. I mean, it was real. It was genuine. Yeah, he showed like, I'm a real person that didn't want this to happen to your son. You know?
I remember that.
I think if you talk to anyone who knows him or you know, beyond his personal, you know, being a recluse or whatever, like mm-hmm. he is a phenomenal artist.
Yeah, he's incredible.
And he's
yeah,
into he the horror genre, and like, you know, it's mm-hmm. art at, yeah. at a very yeah. high level, and he's an incredible. Yeah. He might be to me, I mean, I'm Sacramento guy, I'm biased, but still, like, name someone out of the West Coast lyrically.
Who, I agree. I mean, that's why Snoop studied him.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. like, someone once said to me in an interview, why is he got a, what do they say? Why has Lynch got to use that gimmick to make himself a big artist? And mm-hmm. I said, actually, you got that backwards, man. Right. If he wouldn't have gone down that dark road mm-hmm. and used that gimmick,
right,
and he actually just spit what everyone else was spitting at the time, he'd have done it better and been bigger because right. he'd have had a larger audience.
Exactly.
So he actually hindered
yeah.
his footprint as an artist, in my opinion, uh-huh. to the hardcore underground
yeah,
by going sure. that route. So it was the opposite, you know?
For sure.
But yeah, he's on top though as far as talent goes.
So now with Strange, talk about, so you were with Strange for how long?
Well, from when I first got involved in mm-hmm. 01 mm-hmm. to till 19.
Okay.
So 18, 19 years.
Okay. Damn. So at what point, what happened with the departure?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Travis and I worked well together mm-hmm. for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And we'd agree 95% of the time, mm-hmm. you know, and we had a good, you know, my job was to take, you know, days worth of work and mm-hmm. give him a 5-minute update and mm-hmm. bang through the decisions and keep it moving, help mm-hmm. run the company. Mm-hmm. And he started focusing more in the pop space mm-hmm. and he started developing his daughter, right. Mackenzie.
Yeah.
And which was fine, but mm-hmm. he was doing it on Strange. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was really fighting with him to say, you know, look, you have the luxury to do this. Mm-hmm. You have the wherewithal, the financing, the resource, everything to do it. Mm-hmm. Separate them.
Right.
Separate them. Go ahead and do your pop thing on a pop
yeah.
label and mm-hmm. keep independent, you know, mm-hmm. rapping ass Strange Music right. as an underground hip hop right. label. And he wanted to use the fans to help propel, mm-hmm. not knowing that that would pigeonhole her algorithm at the mm-hmm. DSPs because mm-hmm. Spotify and the DSPs were so new on
right.
the scene
right.
that, you know, the problem was that when she should have been on playlists with, you know, Valerie Larson mm-hmm. and Selena Gomez mm-hmm. and other pop females, she was being, you know, presented mm-hmm. to hardcore lyrical mm-hmm. Playlists, mm-hmm. which obviously she didn't fit, but mm-hmm. that's who listened to her.
Right.
Because the fans became fans of hers.
Got you.
So basically the bottom line is our visions just, you know,
yeah.
changed. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's his company,
yeah.
and he's allowed to do what he wants, right, and right. I can disagree with it,
yeah.
and I'll express myself. And so it went from a wonderful 15-year relationship mm-hmm. of, you know, being a good yin and yang mm-hmm. in terms of how we manage things together to not so well.
Right.
You know, like it was more disagreeing, went from 95-5 to agreeing to, mm-hmm. you know, 95-5 disagreeing. Mm-hmm. And so I just wasn't the guy to run the company for wow. him anymore. So I stepped down.
So did you guys part amicably?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. I don't think he wanted me mm-hmm. to leave.
Okay.
Like it wasn't what he'd hoped for, mm-hmm. but it was too difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. If I feel like I'm not contributing and I'm mm-hmm. not making something better, mm-hmm. I'm making it worse, then my time's done there.
Right.
So that's how I felt.
Okay.
But yeah, we're still cool, and yeah. I got nothing but respect for him and Tech and
yeah.
You know,
you guys made history over there. I mean,
we sure did, man.
You made history.
And yeah, you guys hit the Forbes list.
I yeah, mean,
everything
yeah,
that was happening as an independent label.
I mean, I think there was one year we had 13 top 10 albums, mm-hmm. or maybe it was 11. Top 10 albums on the Billboard mm-hmm. hip hop chart, and not even a major had done mm-hmm. that. And I think it was 2013 was right. the year where we right. got the title for the most mm-hmm. top 10 mm-hmm. of all record companies, mm-hmm. which is crazy to think that, you know. And then Young Money came and
yeah.
shut it all down after
mm-hmm.
after
right.
that, you know.
Right.
But yeah, we definitely did incredible shit, mm-hmm. and I was blessed to do it twice.
Man, yeah,
you know?
That's why I said I had to get you on the show, bro, because you have definitely yeah. contributed a lot to the culture.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. and I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of it. I'm proud, and you know, one thing that I always said about P, that, and it's not a diss, mm-hmm. it's actually a compliment. He inspired so many people mm-hmm. because since he wasn't Jay-Z lyrically, mm-hmm. and he was a normal guy.
Right.
If he could do it, everyone felt like they could do it.
That's right.
It inspired people to say, mm-hmm. there's no reason I can't do this.
Oh, that's real. That's you why know? We say No Limit was a, it wasn't just a moment, it was a movement.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. For culture and it, yeah.
The community, the South, Louisiana, it got people motivated. Yeah. Baton Rouge, I mean, it really did. It changed a lot of lives.
It made people feel like that, shit. But mm-hmm. big up to P, because no one else has really done it like
right.
that. You know what I mean? Made I mean, you feel that way, but damn.
I still have gold and platinum records in boxes I haven't even opened. They were coming so fast.
Yeah,
like we were just clearing space in the office, man.
Pete crushed it, man.
He did something that, I don't think anyone's ever done. Mm-hmm. Even Death Row. I mean, that's different when you look at numbers. But as far as magnitude of releases and impact
and influence
in an underserved community that wasn't a part of the industry, you know?
Like, and he gets his respect. Every artist that we've ever talked about or what it like Snoop and they're like, he came in, bailed me out, gave me Eddie Griffin. Like everyone's like, he just put the opportunity and didn't want nothing in return.
So. No. Yeah. And all those stories are true, man.
Yeah.
You know, and when
shout
out to P when he took Snoop on, you know, and was willing to, let me rephrase that. When he signed Snoop and took Suge on, you know, that got dangerous for all of us. It was a crazy time, man. You know, we weren't allowed to leave the office without an armed LAPD escort. Like there were high risk employees.
Oh, wow.
At Priority beside the bulletproof entrance and all that. They had LAPD in the office on the 10th floor in a secret office. They would monitor what was going on because of all the drama.
Where was the threat coming from? Because I seen where Reggie Wright Jr., he said that, you know, Snoop going over to No Limit, he kind of helped facilitate that. But he said that it was cool.
No.
Really?
No, it wasn't cool.
Really?
No. There were many incidents. I'm sure you've heard about the one in Hawaii.
Yeah.
With Death Row in First Class with Snoop.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, I don't know if you ever heard about the No Limit Comedy Jam.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where the fucking madness went down.
So what it was is it wasn't necessarily, so it wasn't like it was Suge and P, the higher ups, having issues. It was the mans and them, the hanger-ons of Death Row. Ooh. Because Reggie Wright Jr. was there, and
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Baby Lane, Trayvon, that took off on Snoop. But it was like more or less kind of Snoop. They said that Snoop was dissing. He was kind of throwing little shots at Death Row, and they went there to kind of talk to him, like, hey, you know, why are you doing that?
No, they went for him, especially at the Comedy Jam. Like, I saw it myself, you know? And Suge was away calling shots.
Right.
I don't know the story that and the gentleman you're speaking on. I'm sure everyone's got their own perspective.
Right.
But it was definitely very uncomfortable at that time, man. Okay. And especially at that Comedy Jam.
Okay. Yeah. I believe Reggie.
I wasn't there. You heard about it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I believe Reggie Wright Jr. was running. I believe that he was running Death Row while Suge was away.
Okay.
Yeah. So somehow or another, I think he was dealing with it. He was kind of talking for Suge, kind of, you know, moving for Suge while he was locked up. But I think he said that it was him and Priority that worked it out with P, you know, while Suge was away. So I thought I was under the impression.
Yeah, I've heard a few different stories, but then I'm just going off what I just saw myself.
Yeah.
You know?
So it was up, basically. It was
definitely heated. Okay. I've heard some people try to talk like it wasn't, and I don't know what they saw.
Right. Okay.
You know?
So man, fast forward, what are you doing now, brother? What do you have?
Well, you can take everything we talked about right there, the Priority portion. Uh-huh. I've got a scripted series in development with MGM, Amazon, which is in the early stages, and showrunner, and just getting partnered with Matt Alvarez from Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
So Soren Baker, he's one of my partners on that, and Mark Cerami. Started out as a script about the Priority record story.
Okay.
Kind of picking up where Straight Outta Compton left off.
Yeah.
And then during the pandemic, we pivoted into a scripted series and partnered with Alvarez and MGM and Amazon.
Nice, congratulations.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's on hold with the writer's strike.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
I think I may have read that script.
Yeah.
I think I saw it.
Okay.
I know I ain't supposed to, but I think I saw it. Yeah.
Okay. I would have sent it to you.
Yeah, I think I saw it because I think it starts with P, right? Didn't it?
We had 27 rewrites over 10 years.
I believe the one that I read, the initial script started with P, you and him meeting in like an alley or parking lot or something like that.
Right. Yeah. That was definitely one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely one of them.
Nice.
So I'm doing
that. So you're already greenlit?
No. Okay. We're partnered.
Okay.
But no, we're waiting for the green light from Amazon bought MGM last year for $8.5 billion. So, so our partner is with MGM, but they're owned by Amazon. So we have to go through that process, which we were about to do, and then the strike happened. And but we got you know, first four seasons outlined, pilot written, first season written, showrunner on.
Oh wow!
So it's as far as it can get without next move is greenlit. Yeah. So.
Hey, you might want to holler at producer Ken.
Right,
we have an Amazon show coming in. Yeah. I mean, I was in development at Warner Brothers for years.
Okay,
and
takes forever.
When AT&T bought Warner Brothers is when I pivoted and reopened the studio. And
oh, dope!
Me and three partners who have been working together for like 15 years, we were like, let's just do it on our own,
right?
And there's a whole story behind that, but we weren't on contract anymore,
right?
So Warner Brothers essentially was like, oh, hey, we're gonna move you here, and I was like, eh. Right. We don't have a contract right now.
Right, right.
We're kind of gonna go step out and do our thing respectfully.
Right.
It was amicable between all of us.
Preserve that bridge.
Mm-hmm. But we have a bunch of shows in here. We do a lot with Amazon. I actually have a friend over there right now. One at Hulu and one that went to Amazon from Warner Brothers. So
cool.
So we have a couple of people over there, and we have a show. I think next week we start building a set here for a scripted series.
Congrats.
So.
That's dope. So that's pretty much what you're doing now.
No, that's like the side project.
Okay.
But no, I'm still involved. I'm a partner in a handful of different record companies.
Nice.
Consult for basically identify independent labels that have a lot of potential but hit the ceiling and need that next level of infrastructure, organization, distribution, financing. So kind of get involved with them and elevate their game.
Got
and step in as a partner. And
nice.
So involved in the traditional, you know, I mean, I say traditional, even though, you know, it's a lot of TikTok.
Right.
A lot of TikTok stuff.
I have a question. Yeah. Yes. And I'm so glad you brought that up because I've been one to ask.
Yeah.
For you, what is it like now getting an artist with social media and them coming already with the fan base versus previously when they were kind of more like truly underground, like they were local?
It's totally different, and there's pros and cons to it because we're in a climate now where talent is secondary to popularity.
This is right,
which is unfortunate because it should be about the art,
right?
It should be about your talent,
but
as a result of that. There's a lot of things that are going that I personally wouldn't be interested in.
Okay.
But I'm also irrelevant as the consumer because it's the kids who are consuming the music. And ever since
running the platforms
create
popularity.
Right.
Exactly. And ever since physical went away, it's pretty much just cut the head off the independent artist because they can't live off of any money generated from the DSPs. And then they're left with touring. So the only way to really survive as an artist nowadays is volume.
Right.
And the way you're going to get volume is by succeeding with the algorithms on the appropriate platforms. And it's really got nothing to do with the talent of the artist. So honestly, I'm torn.
Right.
Okay.
Because as you've heard me talk about, artists I've been extremely passionate about. Now that's far and few between.
Right.
You know, like I actually have to go out there and find artists that really excite me, that I can get involved with just to keep my passion, because there is a lot of stuff I'm working on that's just business, but I can't get into, what the artist is about.
Yes.
Got you.
So,
got you.
And that's what's changed.
Is it the music that you can't get into, or is it just the whole disposition of, you know, because now it's content driven. It's about, you know...
I just like real art. I don't like mistakes or moments. I like real artists that are there for a reason, that can't do anything but, you know, their music, you know, like that fascinates me.
Yeah.
But when you just, you know, sat in your car and said some shit and hit a lick, and all of a sudden you got 2.5 million creates in a week.
Yeah.
Now every major is knocking your door down. You know, we're not going to pass on that because we see where it's going. It's
the business, yeah.
But the passion is different.
The artistry gets compromised.
Yeah. I might be the one to step out here and dissent from the group. I saw at Warner Brothers we were doing digital a lot. A digital company named Machinima that Warner Brothers had purchased.
Right.
It takes a lot to become someone who gets 1 million views on something.
Oh yeah.
It takes even if it sounds like shit. And here's the thing, I'm from the Brother Lynch, X-Rated, C-Bowl,
right,
Sacramento era.
Right.
Very lyrical. My ear is still like, I want to hear that.
Right.
And I can't hear everything that's out nowadays.
Impossible.
But I still look at it and go like, fuck, man. I remember working at Machinima when people were dying to try to figure out the algorithm to get views. So when you see someone who hits it, they did something. Like, whether or not I'm a fan of it is a different story, but they did something to get that momentum.
But most of the time, from my experience, it's an accident. Like, because, well, when you're thinking about 120, I know Warner Brothers it wasn't, because you guys were actually trying make it happen.
Right.
But when you got 120,000 songs a day dropping, there's going to be a huge portion of those songs that just strike a nerve with the kids.
Yeah.
And they don't care about, you know, that track has been used 1,000 times.
They don't care about originality, none of that. Because our day, you had to be original.
And where you came from, what you did.
It was a story.
Pedigree,
you had to have the story. Yeah, it had to be a story to you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what would be your advice to young artists now? Being that you're on the executive side.
Like real artists.
Yeah, artists or real artists. Just people wanting to get in the music business.
You have to embrace all the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people, and this is where I see a lot of real artists cut off their nose to spite their face, because they're like, they don't want to fuck with TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to have that coming to Jesus with them.
Thank you.
You will not succeed without, you know, we're in the business of attention.
Exactly.
And if you can't, where are you getting their attention right now?
Exactly.
If you're not on TikTok and Instagram and you're not working the platforms and figuring out the algorithms, where are people finding you?
Yes.
Oh, well, I just put it up on Spotify and it's so good. And I'm like, no.
That's not it. No.
No. Go try to listen to 1% of the songs that drop today, this week. Just try to get through 1% of them. And you can't. It's impossible. So you have to learn how to work with technology and platforms that will give you the opportunity to go viral.
That's right.
And most don't.
I'm glad you said it, because I try to give this information mainly to Kansas City and to young artists. And they're very, I don't know if because they don't.
What's good, y'all? It's Aaliyah from the Young and Dumb Show. I have something for you. If you're young and interested in learning more about different careers, becoming an entrepreneur, and really get into the bag, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the Young and Dumb Show. On this show, we sit down with the biggest, and I'm talking the biggest, career professionals, entrepreneurs, influencers, and entertainers to break down how to be successful in different industries. It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators. Let's get it, y'all.
Know how to do it, and because they don't get the results, because they have to understand it's not something that's just going to happen. You have to keep swinging.
Right.
You have to keep swinging.
It's
a
numbers game.
It's a numbers game. And I think that they reject it. Because you get these, especially when you're talking about street rappers, you know, oh, I ain't no internet dude. I ain't.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, you're up against, you know, so much. You have to stand out, but then utilize these platforms. You use them to your advantage, you know? So come up with something that translates to TikTok, you know, it's short form content.
Exactly.
So it's not rocket science, you know?
Well, that's the thing they don't understand.
Yeah.
And when I get through to them, it's like an epiphany for them, because they think they gotta, I ain't gonna dance and fucking ring light and be in my driveway. And it's like, yo, you don't have to, it doesn't even have to be you in the video.
Right.
You just need to learn how to set off a contest.
Exactly.
You need to have to set off a moment.
Engagement.
You just get the right influencer to do the right dance.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You know, the kind of what does go and what does, you know, the things that do happen are, half of them make sense to me.
Yeah.
And the other half I can't wrap my head around.
No, that's real.
But ask a 13-year-old and they'll explain it to you.
And mind you, this information is coming from someone who your fingerprint and your influence is on how many records sold and how many streams. in your career
that I've been involved
yeah,
in?
Yeah, that you've been involved in.
I don't know. I really don't
know. Would you say maybe what, about 200 million, something like that?
I mean,
Masterpiece, 100.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In dollars, it's probably close to $1 billion.
Okay.
Between physical and streaming revenue.
So you've been a part of generating $1 billion.
Somewhere between $750 million and $1 billion.
Yeah. So they should probably listen.
You know, and the fact that I'm still in the game,
right?
You know, I mean, there was probably 400 people that came and went through priority, and I don't know if there's 8 of us left in the industry. So I'm blessed to have a son that you know keeps me current musically,
right?
And work with people that really have their finger on the pulse.
Yeah, I'm curious. Who are you feeling? Who are you feeling?
I was just about to ask the same thing.
Who are you feeling now?
Yeah,
I mean. They're not new.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people.
New. I want to know new because we're probably going to say
last 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe last 20.
Like JID's got me fucked up for the last few years. Are you familiar with him?
That's from J. Cole's.
Yeah. Label, 30 million monthly listeners.
Oh, wow.
Check him out.
Okay.
He's dope.
Spillage Village out of the same, out of the same J. Cole crew. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to me, JID is one of the dopest MCs out there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when Cordae came out, that. Yeah. Was like the savior of, you know, explaining, you know, the old YBN. And the young. And so no, if we'd have had this conversation in like 17, 18, it would have been depressing.
Yeah.
You know, but it feels
like
it's
at that time
back.
You had Kevin Gates. Kevin Gates.
Yeah,
was,
Kevin Gates is Kevin Gates.
Mo 3 was killing it before he passed away out of Texas. I mean, it was good. Mozzie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Sacramento.
Yeah, definitely. So no, there's I'm impressed with the way kids brought back some talent, you know, and there's some good shit going on out there, but
good shit, good shit. So
Ramble's dope. If you're familiar with him,
I've heard the name.
Yeah. I mean, he's
I've heard Ramble. I've heard the
name. He's dope. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, but even, and he's probably got 10 million monthlies. I'm guessing like he's kind of big, you know, but a lot of these cats now can say fuck a major.
Yeah.
Like I've done this.
They got
like,
their own traction.
I don't need it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
okay, man. Well, that's a lot of good game, brother.
Yeah, man.
I definitely appreciate you coming to the show, man. And,
no,
you know, wanted to give you your flowers, brother, because you have definitely contributed a lot to the culture.
I appreciate it.
So now people can put a face to, you know, to the accomplishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate the love and everything.
Absolutely. Where can people find you? You know, what do you want to tell the people where they can tap in with you?
I'm reclusive.
Okay. He doesn't want to be found.
Exactly. I knew that. I just wanted to give you
the opportunity.
I'm
hard to find, man.
If
you know how to get at me, you can get at me.
All right, well, I tell you what, if y'all got something and y'all really on something, get at me, I get at him.
There you go.
Hey, so I appreciate you coming,
brother. Appreciate
Salute, brother.
And congrats to all your success.
Thank you.
What you guys have accomplished here is amazing, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I've been watching it grow from the beginning.
Yeah. And you've been supporting as well.
Yeah, of course,
I appreciate
man.
That.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's real.
All right, well, hey, that's the Holding Court Podcast. Big Court, Rachel Renee, producer Ken, Dave Weinerman, we out of here.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah,
or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.